So today we're going to do the first request. Let's just do quickly the first three brachot. The first bracha, the first three are praises. The praises are not for Hashem's sake, they're for our sake. They're there to put us into the right state of mind. Dalifnei mi ata omed, know before whom it is that you stand. And therefore I'm standing before Hashem, a God, so to speak, who is caring, loving, ata gibor. Hashem is all powerful. He can deliver, but he also delivers in a progressive way. He doesn't give it all at once, just like the rain doesn't all come at once. So a person needs to pray with confidence that Hashem can help them, but also patience that it could take time, right? And then the last one is, after we've been so kind of conceptual in describing Hashem as all loving and all powerful, we recognize that Atah Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh, you're beyond it all. Everything, anything we're going to say about you doesn't come close to what we should say about you. We can never exhaust our praises for you, because we'll never really truly grasp who you are. And so Hashem is also all mysterious. All right, so now we go into the first request. And the first request goes like this. Atah chonein ladam dat, you grace a human being with knowledge. Umilamed lanosh bina, and you give a frail mortal bina, understanding. Chaneinu mitcha de'a bina v'skel, grace us from you, knowing, understanding, and wisdom. Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, Chonein Hadat, you who grace us with knowledge. So a lot of things in here. So there's three things we're going to do. We're going to try and understand what the request is. We're going to try and understand why it's in this place, in this order, and why it's articulated in this particular way. Because you will see that every single request is articulated completely different. And you could have thought, I mean, I think it would be reasonable to assume, that every request would have had there would have been a standard form. You know, you provide wisdom, please provide us wisdom. You provide sustenance, please provide us sustenance. But every single request is worded very differently. Some requests have Hashem's name. Some requests don't have Hashem's name. Some requests have two names. Some requests come with a reason why I'm asking this. Some requests don't have a reason. So there must be some, you see, this was written by 120 men of the Great Assembly. So this was not just like haphazardly put together. This was a text that they decided together. There are some nuances between Sephardic and Ashkenazic, but not huge nuances. But there are some nuances, and how they happened, I don't know. I don't know the history of this, but in essence, we're going to look carefully at the Ashkenazic Nusach. Those of you who are Sephardi can point out what our differences in your Nusach. But nonetheless, those are the three things we want to be sensitive to, okay? Which is, what are we asking for, why are we asking it here, and how we are asking it, you know?
I guess this is more to feel, like, Shemar Atzeri is a whole, so, but you talk about, like, the way each bracha is worded, so why do we have to say it, and that each bracha, like, Baruch Ata Hashem.
Okay, good. I'm glad you asked that, because that was what I wanted to introduce in anyways. As we learned before, we are not trying to change Hashem's mind. We don't have to change Hashem's mind. He made up his mind long time ago that he wants to give us dat. In fact, not only does he want to give us dat, he is always giving us dat. Blessed be you, Hashem, who is Chonein Hadat, right now, constantly, forever. Baruch Ata Hashem Harotze B'tshuva, he who wants tshuva right now. Amar Bela Sloach, he who is forgiving us right now. Bonei Yerushalayim, he who is building Yerushalayim right now. In other words, from Hashem's standpoint, Hashem is always building Yerushalayim. Hashem is always redeeming the Jewish people. Hashem is always bringing about peace, right? But why is it that we're not seeing that? Because we're blocked. Because as I mentioned, in this room is a symphony of bracha, of blessing. And we don't hear it, we don't feel it, because we didn't turn the radio on. So we're like radios, and the way we engineer our lives to be receptive to Hashem's bracha, Hashem's blessings, and transmit them into our perceptual world is by first recognizing that Hashem is the source of this blessing, then recognizing, and then articulating that this is what we want. Tell Hashem this is what you want. And then recognizing that this is what he's doing anyways, Right? And all that kind of is the mechanics of how to tune your mind to be able to bring that bracha into the world. Okay? So I mentioned, I gave you the example of a kid who's asking his father for a bicycle. He says, please, daddy, 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 give me a bicycle. Please, daddy, daddy, give me a bicycle. And the father says, no, 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 no. And then after a month, right, the kid, finally the father says to the kid, okay, you can have that bicycle. Go into the garage. Goes into the garage, and there's the bicycle. And his brother is cracking up laughing. He said, what's so funny? He said, well, this has been here for like 2 months already, right? So daddy had every intention to give it to you. He already bought it for you a long time ago, but he was waiting for you to recognize who it comes from and to want it and genuinely want it for the right reasons, okay? But you didn't really need to change his mind because he made it look like he changed his mind, but he made up his mind a long time before you even asked him, right? And this was all for your sake. So that's why it's so important to understand that tefillah is about you. You need to hear what you're saying, right? If you think, well, it doesn't matter that I hear what I'm saying because it's Hashem hearing what I'm saying. Yes, we believe that Hashem's listening. Shomea tefillah. Hashem is listening. But not because he needs to be convinced of anything. Okay? So that's what we just said. By saying, Atah chonen l'adam dat, I am stating who you are. You are a God that does this. Right? And then I say, Chaneinu mitcha de'er b'nim eskel. So please Hashem, since you're a God that does this, please Hashem, right? I want this. Blessed be you, may there be an increased manifestation of this truth, that you are constantly giving us dot. May that truth be manifest. May that truth be received and perceived and achieved in our lives. Okay? Right now. And that's how you've just tapped in. You just got online. That's how you get online for that particular bracha. Does that make sense? No.
So you're getting online by saying Baruch Atah Hashem.
No, the whole thing. The way you get online is A, recognize Hashem as the source of this particular blessing. In this case, dot. Ask for it. Want it. Right? And recognize that He actually is already doing it. He is the source of this. May there be Baruch Atah. What does Baruch Atah mean? You think it means blessed are you. There are two different translations of blessed Baruch Atah. One is, blessed are you, and the other one is, blessed be you. Now, in the Art Scroll Siddur, in most Siddurim, it says, blessed are you. But in the Hirsch Siddur, it says, blessed be you. They're both valid translations. They have a bit of a nuance difference, but they're accomplishing the same thing. Blessed are you means you are the source of this blessing. Okay? What blessing? Whether it's dot, or whether it's rain or whether it's peace, it comes from you, right? But it's coming from you all the time, right? Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you. You are the source of the blessing. You, Hashem, who is constantly giving us dot. That's what you said if you read it that way. If you read it the other way, blessed be you, then you're saying may there be an increased manifestation of this truth, right? Because what does Baruch mean? Abundance. Like if it's your birthday, and someone says, "I bless you for wealth, health, and happiness," they're not saying I praise you. Most people think "blessed be you" or "blessed are you" is just praising Hashem. No, it's actually wishing and kind of evoking with your will that this truth become clear and manifest. Okay? So bracha means increase. So Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you. You are the source of plentifulness. You are the source of abundance. Or blessed be you, may there be an abundant expression of this truth about you. There are different ways of saying it, but they accomplish the same thing. But that's how we engineer our minds to be able to be receptive to this truth to come into our life. So bracha is in the room right now. All the time. But is it in your perceptual room? Right? Just like the bat is looking at the light, he sees darkness, I see light. So in his world, there's darkness. What's causing the darkness in the bat's world? Light. That's light that's turning into darkness in his mind because his eyes can't handle the light. But it's only light. And Judaism says it's only light. Even curse is really in its essence a blessing that just isn't being received by you properly. You're not receiving that blessing, so it's turning into your perceptual world as a curse. Yeah, Tani.
If Shemina Esrei is about...
Hi.
So...
How's it going? No problem. You want to join?
I'll stay for a few minutes.
Sure. Great. Okay. Good to see you. Have a seat. Shkayach. Okay, so now we're going to go inside it. So first of all, before we go word by word, in general, what are we asking for, and why are we asking for it, and why is it the first request we're having? This is the first request. Could you not think of a little bit of a more pressing request than dot? So first of all, what is dot?
Knowledge.
Okay, so that's not true. Okay? Most people think that dot is knowledge. It's not knowledge. It's not information. Dot is, it says, that Adam knew his wife. Wink, wink. Say no more. We know what that means. Okay? Dot means an intimate connection. Okay? Like, I know you means I really get who you are. Right? And so in mystical tradition... There is described three faculties of intelligence. There's Chachma, which here is called Seichel. It's the same word. It's the same idea. Bina and Dat.
Chabad.
Ah, Chabad. Exactly. Chachma, Bina, Dat. Chabad. So what is Chachma, what is Bina, and what is Dat? So Chachma is inspiration. It's a flash. Chachma is something that just gets downloaded into your brain. It's a given, right? That's what Chachma is. And, the Kabbalah says that hinted in the word Chachma is Koachma, which means the power of what? It's just like, just something hits you, okay? Have you ever had an experience where you're trying to figure out some issue and suddenly you say, I got it, but you can't yet articulate it, but you somehow feel you got it, like you just felt you had this flash of clarity, but now you need some time to articulate it. So that flash of clarity that just kind of hits you, it's kind of like that light bulb that goes over top of that cartoon character, right? That would be Chachma, okay? Bina is now taking that raw revelation, which hasn't yet been articulated, and articulate it. So the word Bina comes from the word Binyan, which means to build. Bina is connected to the word Bain, which means to distinguish. Okay? And therefore, that's Bina. Bina is, so in Kabbalah, Chachma correlates to right brain, and Bina correlates to left brain. Okay? And left brain correlates to logic and language, whereby right brain correlates to experiences. So there was a woman that wrote a book called Drawing from the Right Side of the Brain. And what she basically did is she was an art teacher and she was trying to teach little children how to draw. And I don't know why she did this, but she saw that kids couldn't copy pictures well. So she did an experiment and she took a tree and she turned it around. I mean, a picture of a tree. She turned it around and she asked the kids to copy it. And the kids copied it more accurately than they did when it was right side up. And this was really quite amazing, enough so that she was able to write a book about it called Drawing from the Right Side of the Brain. And what she basically showed is that as soon as you see the tree, your brain says, tree! And now you don't see the tree anymore. You don't see the picture anymore. You see your picture of a tree, and it gets in the way of you accurately copying the tree you see, because as soon as you see it and you identify it as a tree, your mind gets in the way of seeing it objectively, okay? But when you put it upside down, she claimed, no kid has ever seen an upside down tree. So the, even though the brain will say, oh, upside down tree, but they never saw an upside down tree, so they were able to draw the tree more accurately, much more accurately than they did when it was right side up. So she was pointing out that language can interfere with experience. Because sometimes we're so stuck in the words that we don't allow ourselves to directly see what we're seeing because we've already put a label on it. We've already categorized it. We have already said what it is. Okay? I think I might have shared this story with you. I was with my son. He was a little boy. I don't remember which one it was. But we were walking the street, and my son saw a bird. And he pointed and he said, Abba Zeh, look at that. And so this was my adult moment. I don't get too many of those. This is my adult moment. I said to him, well, that's a bird. And I felt really good that I'm educating my son. And my little boy said, you know, he was about 18, he said, bird, right? And I said, really, that's really smart. You're a really smart kid, okay? And then we're walking down the street, and he points again to the sky. He goes, whoo, Abba, Zeh, right? And I said, well, that's also a bird. And I could see in his eyes confusion, like, how could they both be birds? And then I realized that I'm not seeing what he's seeing. Because I see birds, right? And so I don't even see them anymore. Oh, there's a bird, there's a bird, there's a bird. And all my language has now interfered with my direct experience of what it really is as it is, right? A little bit more, because I'm filtering everything out with my definitions, right? And that was a real amazing moment. So Chachma is just that kind of zeh. You see it, you get a flash. Bina puts a label on it, categorizes it. Now, also in kind of self-actualization, according to Chassidut, Chachma is more goal-mindedness. It says, Mi ha-chacham ro'et nolad. Who is wise? One who sees the consequences. So Chachma is foresight. Bina, however, is foresight is you've got a goal. Bina is a plan. Okay? Bina is the ability to think strategically. So Chachma in Kabbalah would correlate to goal-mindedness, whereby Bina is connected to strategic-minded. Okay? Now some people are very goal-minded, very visionary, very creative. I'm more the Chachma kind of a guy. I'm very creative. I've got a lot of vision. I'm not the greatest at the strategy side. Okay? So the strategy side would be someone like a Scott. So everybody who starts some kind of business or organization, you need to be finding the people who've got that strategic mind, okay, if you don't have that strong strategic mind. Now, what happens when you've got the right goal and you come up with the right strategy, the right plan? When those two come together, that's referred to in the secrets of Torah as mother and father getting together and giving birth, okay? In Chassidus, Chachma correlates to male, and Bina correlates to female. So when the goal and the plan unite, they give birth to Dot. And what is Dot? It's this aha moment where you say, I got it. This is what I'm going to go do. Okay? So now, Torah teaches that there are 10 Sfirot, 10 divine attributes. And the Kabbalah says that there's not 11 and there's not 9. Well, if you tell me there's 10, why would I think there's 11 in the first place? Because there actually is 11, okay? When you count Keter, Chachma, Bina, Dat, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzachot, Yesod, Malchus, you get 11. But our sages teach us you don't count Keter if you're going to count Dat. And you don't count Dat if you're going to count Keter. And that tells you what about Dat and Keter. They're kind of like the same. In other words, Dot is Keter, which is will, which is now being processed through Chachma and Bina. Okay? So Keter is this raw will. I want. I have this incredible, insatiable want. But I don't know what I want. So Chachma is the Koachma. It's the power of what? It's the power of asking, what do I want? So that's the question Chachma asks Bina, so to speak. Bina is just filling you with this passion, this excitement, this like, I want. Right? But Chachma says, but what do you want? Right? So now Chachma figures out, what is it that you want? Now Bina asks, how are you going to get it? Right? And that's the strategy. And when you know what you want, and you know how you're going to get it, and they match each other, you've got a strategy that is appropriate to your goal, then what happens is you say yes. And you are filled with a sense of determination. Now you know what you want. Okay? So Dot is deeply connecting with knowing what you want. And that's why it's the first bracha. Why is it the first request? Because what's the first request you have to have if you're about to daven? To know what you want. Right? You can't even begin without Dot. That's why it says in the Talmud, Yerushalmi Talmud, that without Dot, there is no tefillah. You can't daven without Dot. Okay? Because you don't really know what you want. Okay? So the first request is requesting for the power to request. That's really what you're asking for. To have Dot. Now, why does it end with Dot? Why not say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonen, Chachma Bina Dot? Why not say all three of them? Yeah.
Because that's a combination of the two.
It's not only the combination of the two, it's really what you're trying to get to.
It's a realization.
That's the whole point. The whole point is to get to the dot. Right? If you've got chachma, you've got big dreams, very nice, but you ain't going anywhere. Or you've got bina, you got a lot of plans, right? But they haven't really matched up with anybody's, with your dreams. So you're sitting there planning away, but you don't have the drive to go do something. You don't have a vision, but you've come up with some crazy plan. But you're not really motivated to do anything with that plan. But if you've got will, and you've got vision, and you've got plan, and they all come together, that gives you dot, and that was the goal, to get to the dot. People who don't have dot, they got big dreams, lots of strategy, but they really haven't gotten to the, I get it, yes, that's what I want, and now I'm committed, right? So dot, according to Kabbalah, infuses you with emotion, okay, which is called chesed and gevura. And all this correlates to your tefillin, okay? Your tefillin is the keter, your tefillin is like a little crown. Inside your tefillin, okay, are four compartments. The one to the right correlates to Chachma. The one to the left correlates to Bina. And the two middle are actually correlating to the two sides of Dot. Okay? What are the two sides of Dot? What happens is you've got this strap that comes from over here to the right. Then you have another strap that's coming from the left. And they meet right over here at the top of your spine. And it's a Dalet, hinting to Dot. Okay? And then what happens is it flows down. And the right one is longer than the left one. Okay? Because what Dot does is it takes this inspiration of your purpose and your plan and you get it. And it emotionally it puts you in motion. It's emotion. Okay? And what happens is you are activated, so to speak, by your brain. Okay? So, but how does that work? So first you put on your hand tefillin, right? Because in Judaism, action stirs up thought. You know, if you don't, you know, not fake it till you make it, but fake it till you awake it. Okay? So you put on the hand tefillin, which awakens this, kind of gets your juices moving. So then you put on your head tefillin, right? With the two flows of energy, which is called chasadim and gvurot. Chasadim is this desire to move forward, and gvurot is to kind of hold back. You see, your goal, your dream, is just telling you, go for it. But your plan is saying, yes, but there's timing to everything, and you might have to restrain yourself. So in the interest of pace, you'll get to the place, okay? And so this is... The tefillin totally correlates to the system of how one downloads chachma bina dot turning into chesed and gvura. which is the passion, which is chesed, and gvura, which is the restraint. And anything you do to succeed has to have passion, which is chesed, but also restraint, because there's timing, there's a plan, we got to stick to our plan. Chachma saying, let's get on with the dream. Bina saying, yeah, but stick to the plan. Dat says, I got it, I'm committed, and we're going to make this happen. Okay? So that's what your tefillin is. You're actually putting you're literally recharging yourself by putting yourself into that whole flow of energy, which is the flow is keter, willpower, chachma, visionary thinking, bina, strategic thinking, dat is determinism and desire. It's like, yes, that's what I want. That stirs up chesed, which is passion, but it stays connected to the gvura, and that's why you've got one strap that's shorter than the other. The shorter one is the restraint, the longer one is the passion. Okay? Eris?
So you were saying before about how, like, the analogy you gave with the bicycle and how, like, God wants us to reach a point and then he's willing to give it to us, but he's already decided whether or not we get it. Does that mean to say that if you are praying for something, whatever it is, and, like, you don't ever reach the point of getting it, if it's health or whatever it is, God, then does that mean that you just never reach the point that God wanted you to be at?
There's no way of knowing. It could be that wasn't in the that wasn't Hashem's plan, right? Or it could be that is Hashem's plan, and you're still not ready to receive it. Right? You're still just not ready to receive it. You know, my wife, she studied astrology for quite some time. There's different halachic opinions about astrology. All opinions say it's forbidden in terms of horoscopes and telling the future, but there's some opinions that say that it's okay to help you understand your personality. And some opinions say you can't even use it for personality. Anyways, my wife stopped using it anyways. But in her course, there was a woman there who could not conceive. She was barren. And her astrology teacher told her that I see in your astrological map that you have an obsession with cleanliness. And as much as you say you want a child, there's something deep inside you that's resisting that and doesn't want the child, because if you and when you Mishra Sam are blessed with children, you will see that they are messy, right? And you just did the kitchen floor and they just walk in with the mud, they're just mess. And so deep inside her there was a block whereby she wanted a child, but there was still something about her that didn't want the child. And so my wife's astrology teacher told her that she has to go to therapy. And she did mud therapy. I'm just joking. She went to therapy and to get over this obsession with cleanliness. And she did, and that's when she conceived. Yeah, she conceived. She had a little baby boy. She called him Mr. Clean. But she tried. But so sometimes, you know, now again, you have to be very careful with this because I know, and I share this idea with singles, it's very easy for people to start really dumping on themselves. Oh, I'm not married because I'm not ready, because I don't really, really, really want it. Well, you have to be careful. Like, that might be why. Maybe you really, really don't want it. There's a book called Men Who Can't Love. It's a book about commitment phobia. And the truth is, it's not a fair book. Really, women have commitment phobia also. But they knew that more women would buy the book. So they called it, I think, that's why they called it Men Who Can't Love. It's a really interesting book because it shows how there are men that will get very involved in a relationship and they're telling the girl all the right things. And when it just comes to really that's it, they find all the reasons why they can't marry them because they literally have a problem with commitment. Right? And so something inside them is not. So you really, a huge amount of your work in life, and I've mentioned this to you before, is to get in touch with what do you really, really, really want? And Yiddishkeit is saying, if you were in touch with what you really, really wanted, then you'd sign that you want what Hashem wants for you. And if what you want is not what Hashem wants for you, then something's not connected, okay? So what you really want to ask yourself is not what do I want, what does Hashem want, right? What does Hashem want me to do in this world, okay? So and that's how you kind of attune yourself to the will of Hashem and become a receiver and transmitter for that blessing into the world. Yeah?
This might also apply to a lot of the other brachot also, but which not talk about how you're requesting for like the power to know, like know what your plan is and stuff like that.
Know what you want.
Does that mean that in between like Shachar and Mecha, you forget the plan, or you're asking for like a different plan? Like, what's the point of repeating it?
Because first of all, the game is always changing. It could be, you know, maybe your general life, you know what you want, but what do I want and what do I need for the rest of the day? You want to always be tuning into Dot. The most important thing that you need and the rest of your life is dependent on is knowing what you want. Wanting what you want in general, knowing what you want specifically, knowing what you want from your day-to-day, knowing what you want from your relationships, right? Knowing what you want. So like this, like, but most people aren't even praying for this, you know, sadly enough. They don't understand that this is the most important thing to work on, is get in touch with what you want. And if you don't get in touch with what you want, I've told you, there are people out there that are spending millions of dollars to convince you to want what they want you to want, which is their product. You have to have the shampoo. You really have to have, you really want that shampoo. Did I ever tell you about that commercial that I watched that, you know, I told you about the Heritage Jeans? Tell you about that? Yeah. Well, so I was traveling and I couldn't fall asleep, and so I turned on the television looking for something, you know, that's kosher to watch. So I went to the Discovery Channel and watched spiders eat people and things like that. That was kosher. And so, but in the middle, they had a little station break, a commercial, and it was like, I don't know what this was, because it was like a person walking through a dark forest towards light. It was a very inspirational scene, and like the camera is kind of like, look, it's like you. So there's this feeling like you are walking through this dark forest, but there's this very attractive, magical, enchanting light sparkling in the distance, and you're moving towards it, you know, kind of stumbling though. It's a journey. And the narrative was, life is a journey. Whoa, I like this. Wow, I can't believe it. Life is a journey, right? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I mean, what is this, like a commercial for meaning? I mean, journey, adventure? And it says, life is a journey. And as we're going through that journey, there's lots of obstacles and darkness. But we need to be passionate to get to the light. And I'm going, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. And on your way to the light, make sure you're wearing Heritage Jeans. Yes, Heritage Jeans for only $69.99. And I couldn't believe it. And by the way, these are those jeans. And so, you know, and I found myself like, whoa, what switch and bait. But they're selling you something. You're in a world where you are literally encountering something like 1,000 commercials a day. Because everywhere you turn, somebody's selling you something. So do you have Dot? Because Dot is the anchor. What do I want? I want Chachma Bina Dot Mitcha. I want this to come from you. I want your Chachma Hashem. I want your Bina Hashem. I want your Dot in my life. Get your Dot into my life, Hashem. I want whatever you want. That's what we're asking over here. Okay? Now, we haven't gone into the details yet of the exact request, so we'll get to that. Yeah?
You're someone who believes like they know what they want, but even if they're a little older than you are, like they find their major that they go into college and they get a job. And say a year into the job, I find like most people in the world like dread Sunday nights because they know in the morning they're going to work. Like, what do you say to that person who dreads going to morning? Like,
become a rabbi and then you dread Motzei Shabbos. I'm just joking. Right. What? So they made a mistake. Or maybe they didn't make a mistake. Maybe that's what they had to do. Sometimes you have to do the wrong thing. Hashem is going to give you the wrong thing to get in touch with what you really want so that you'll really, really want it. I knew a woman, she was a shadchanit. She was unbelievable. She knew exactly who you needed to date to get you to who she thought you should marry. So she'd fix you up with a girl. She knew it was going to be terrible, right? She knew the two of you would not like each other. But she was so smart. She already was like a chess game. She knew that in 3 shidduchs from now, she's got the guy. You're just not ready for that guy. She's got the girl, but you're not ready. You need to meet 2 really wrong people so that you know what the right person is. So Hashem is constantly orchestrating our lives, and even the failures in our lives are part of Hashem building our dot. Okay? So sometimes you needed to have that challenge. I mean, I got engaged to a girl, and it was terrible, and the mother broke us up, and I was in pain for like maybe at least a year. And then when I met my wife, I realized, oh my gosh, I was such an idiot that I even thought this girl was the right girl for me. But I look back and realize that I needed my heart to be broken so that I could really know what it is that I should not be wanting and what really is worth wanting. So sometimes Hashem, sometimes it's a broken heart that is the way to the whole heart. Yeah.
What's the reason for a square as opposed to a dot in the back of the head stone?
A square?
Yeah, whatever, the diamond or whatever.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. I don't know. There's different mystical things. I don't know. But it all basically is how Chachma and Bina join here, and dot is considered to be right at the top of your spine. Right, that's like the dot unites the Chachma and Bina, and then it flows through your spine, and it gets the juices moving, gets you emotionally activated, and then physically active. You start acting it out. Okay? Yeah, Ben?
Why does it say Chonen instead of like Noten? Dot?
Okay, good question. So we're going to go now into the word by word. So don't ask me questions about the words because we haven't done that yet. Just ask me still about the concept. Yeah.
Going back to the bicycle example, does God know when we're going to be ready for the bike?
Yes, of course he does.
Yeah.
Hashem knows everything. Yeah, it's annoying. Hashem knows everything. The problem is I don't know anything. And so my goal is to try to get to know what Hashem knows. Okay, of course, we got a lot to talk about why is it that way, so we're working on it. Yeah, Yonah?
Why is it that the rabbis instituted that we say Havdalah? Between the
Brachot. Oh, wow, that's great. Because you need to know the difference between darkness and light. Because in the end, that's what it's about. Right? So, Motzi Shabbat was the first time Adam experienced darkness. There was no darkness Friday night. Right? The plant, that's why it says, V'yera v'yoboka yoma shishi, v'yachula shemayim v'aretz v'kol tzavam. So there was Thursday night, right, which is that's what's called night of Shishi, and then there was morning, and then there was no night. Right, it's only when Adam and Eve sinned that they brought night. There wasn't going to be any more nights anymore. Okay, so what happened is Motzi Shabbos was the first time they experienced darkness, and Hashem gave them fire and said, "Okay, you turned out the light. I'm going to give you fire, and you're now responsible to turn it back on." So what happens, Motzi Shabbos? Is we have to learn to distinguish between the holy and the not yet holy, the Jewish people and the not Jewish people, and be able to have that discerning eye. Okay, so that is also the ability to discern. Okay, good question. Yeah.
So kind of going back to the bicycle question, but not.
Boy, the guy didn't get bike. Is that your problem?
No. Before
just beg your dad for the bike already. Yeah.
You said when God. If we don't get an answer, right, for God, it's either that he didn't answer us or like...
Either there's no bike in the garage, and so you're biking up the wrong biking up the wrong tree, right? Or it's you're not ready. You're not ready to get that bike. You got to be ready for the bike. Will you ever be ready for the bike? I got a bike. I don't know what's wrong with you.
So if I'm, like... praying for someone else's help, how could I be ready for that fight rather than them being ready?
Oh, no, that we talked about already. That's a different class, so I don't want to go there. Because that's not about the dots right now. So you can ask me after class, but for the class, we've already talked about how I can pray for somebody else and affect them. So do that after class. Yeah, Tony?
Okay, so I want to ask Ray is all about aligning our inner Ratzon with God's Ratzon. Then when we're asking questions... Is that
not questions? We're asking requests.
So when we're requesting things,
yeah.
How is that? Is that like helping us align?
Yes, of course. Yes, that's exactly the point. This Shmona Esrei is what Hashem wants you to want, right? This is what He wants you to ask Him. He's like, this. Ask me. I'm telling you. You know, this is what I want you to ask me. So just go ahead, ask me for it. Ask me for it. But you have to ask for it. You have to want this. I can't make you want it. Right? But I'm telling you what I want you to want. Okay, that's what's so amazing about Shemana Esrei. If you live the Shemana Esrei, you will be rooted in and anchored in a healthy want in your life. Most people are miserable because what they want, which they should not be wanting, and that they'll get, and they'll be miserable if they get it. So these are the chapters of what you should be wanting. How much do you spend dreaming, right, about dot in your life? That should be the first thing on your mind. I want dot. I want to know what I want, and I want to want what I know, right? And I want to have a goal, and I want to have a plan. I want them to be synchronized, right? Okay, so now let's go into the words. So, atah chonen ladam dot. Now, this is very interesting, because no other request starts off with atah, right? Beforehand, it was atah gibor, atah kadosh, and this goes into atah chonen. So, is this a request, or is this a praise? Because it's worded like the praises, right? Yeah, Jason?
I have a question.
No. First, you answer my question. Okay, so when we get the answer to my question, you can ask yours. Yes.
It's like the smooth transition. Between
exactly. Them. We're transitioning from the praise mode to the request mode. So this request starts off in a praisey way. Such a word, praisey, right? I'm stating something about you. And then I make a request. Okay? So just in terms of the structure, the style of it, because no other request is going to start off that way. Okay? So that makes sense, that it's kind of smoothly transitioning from, this is kind of a praise, a kind of quasi-praise transition into request. Now you ask your question.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same question for Gnesha and Makshava. This bracha doesn't start in plural. We were talking about
No, Adam. It says Adam, mankind. Right, Enosh, human beings, right? And then it's Chaneinu, bless us. It's always in the plural sense. Okay, so Atah Chonein L'dam Dat, so somebody asked, what does Chonein mean? So Chonein comes from the word Chinam, and what does Chinam mean? Yeah, you want to know that word in Israel. If something's Chinam, you want to get that, okay? Free, meaning... I can't justify what I'm asking for. I can't say you owe me. You owe me consciousness, God. You owe me the ability to dream and plan and be determined and decide. You know, you owe me, right? No. Atah chonein l'adam. This is a gift. This is just a gift. Okay. Right? I remember I went to a dentist and he started telling me all the new dentistry stuff, and now they do teeth transplants, right? And you can you can actually put that on your organ donation card. No, I'm just joking, right? They do these teeth transplants and I said, really? And I said, wow, that's amazing. And I said, well, what does that cost? It was something like $5,000 a tooth or something. I don't remember what the price was. So I said, whoa, that's a lot of money. So after my appointment with the guy, I started thinking to myself, I started counting how much money I have in my mouth. I realized, whoa, I'm a rich guy. Look how much money I got in my mouth, right? And so then I started thinking, well, if a tooth would be $5,000, I wonder what I could get for a pinky toe, you know? What does that go for? And then I started thinking about, whoa, I'm worth $1 billion, right? You know, it's like people say, you look like $1 million. I am $1 million. I don't look like it, right? And so then I started thinking about my kids and how much I would sell Rav Nuria for, right? And so I was thinking about all that. And then I said to myself, what in the world did I ever do for any of this? Can I actually say I earned a kid, right? Hashem, you owe me a kid. It's all chonein. Right? It's all a gift. Right? So when you think that way, you'll be a lot better off. And you'll be more receptive to receive the gift when you recognize it is a gift. Okay? So that's what chonein is. It's a gift. But they have different people here. Atah chonein l'adam dot. You give adam dot. But it doesn't say, umalamed adam bina. So what's the difference between adam and enosh? Right? And then it says, chaneinu. And then give us. And we ask Hashem to grace us with something that we didn't mention yet. We say, Chaneinu mitcha Deah bin of a scale. Where was Deah mentioned until now? Do you see the complication in the exact wording of this? This was all perfectly designed. Okay? So Adam is a person who is pretty evolved, right? That person is just missing dot. They got the chachma down, they got the bina down, they're just missing dot. Okay? So that would be considered an adam. But an enosh, which is a more frail person, somewhat less sophisticated, they're missing bina. Okay? Now you want all three. You want chachma, bina, dot. So an adam, he's already on a level where he's got the chachma and the bina, but he needs the dot. So we ask for a dot. Enosh, he's less evolved, less sophisticated. So he's missing dot and bina. I'm sorry. He's missing bina. Meaning he needs dot and bina. Okay? And now what do we say humbly? Grace us with dea, bina, and scale. Meaning we're not an adam. We're not even enosh. We won't even come up with a word to describe where we're at. We're not even on that level. So it's a very humbling way to describe that we really need all three. Okay? So we recognize that you provide Adam with Dot. You even provide Enos with Dot and Bina. But we are humbly asking you to provide us with all three. Dea, Bina, the Heskel. Okay? Did you understand that? Blessed be you, Chonein Adat, because it's all to get to the dot. Right? The Chachma Bina is worthless if it doesn't get you to the dot. Okay, in the end. Yeah?
Is it, I don't want to say coincidental, but was there an intention when the rabbis authored the bracha to have Adam and Enosh, like, similar to the biblical characters, like Adam and...
Oh, probably, yes. Because Enosh was, the word Enosh comes from the word Anush. Something Anush is desperate. You know, when they, God forbid, say that somebody's being injured in their Anush, it means their life is in danger. They're not in good shape at all. So Anush is not such a complimentary description of where a person's at. Okay? Yeah.
How is like tachanun related to a gift or something being free?
Same thing. You're returning to Hashem and you're recognizing that what you're asking for, you don't have justification. You can't say you owe me. Mm-hmm. Right? I've earned this. What could you say? How could you say you earned life? What about your life could you actually point to say, I earned this, you owe me, God? Right? So you need to realize that life is a gift. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said if you sell your tooth, it'd be worth like whatever, $1,000. How much would you say, like, when someone says like, oh, like they sold their soul? How much you say a soul is worth?
What is a soul worth? I think you can't put a price on it. That's really losing everything. You lose your soul. You sell your soul. I don't know.
You are your soul. You can't live with just a
contract with the devil.
You're an empty shell.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't like marketing.
You're an empty shell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you said in our Machshava class that God relies on us, like, to put him into the world.
Yes.
So can't you justify that we're putting him in the world? So in return for that, he's giving us gifts?
Let's wait when we get into the Machshava class exactly what are we doing here and why. We're not... There's things I have to explain before I can explain that. But that's a good question. Yeah, again?
Also, I heard with this blessing, it's basically the reason that it's the first part is that it's sort of our main characteristic, like from the Eitz HaDaat, is the idea that we gain intellectual and emotional growth, and that's what sets us apart from like animals, and that's why we're supposed to be able to recognize that. Well, what sets us apart and why we're special?
That's very nice. That's great. So you can put that in your book. That's a good shot. What you're going to see is that every request here is correlating to something that we missed out in sin. And so the Eitz HaDaat, Tov V'Ra, was the first sin. And we're asking Hashem to restore Dot in the proper way because we kind of tried to steal Dot and got the wrong Dot in the wrong order. So that's why it makes sense that the first request would be Dot, Because you'll see that every request correlates to fixing something that we broke. So it all started with Eitz Hadaat. So that's very good. I'm glad you brought that up. That's it for today. Good Shabbos. Good
Shabbos.
Good
Shabbos.
All right. I'll take you off.